Welcome to the intersection of technology, cybersecurity, and society. Welcome to ITSP Magazine. You're listening to a new Hackers and HackZen podcast. You're about to join Erica, Jax, and John for an inclusive cybersecurity conversation designed to educate and break the stereotypes of cybersecurity professionals while providing life hacks on how to handle burnout, networking, and goal setting. Knowledge is power, now more than ever.
What is up, hackers and Hexen fam? Welcome back to another fantastic episode where we have our first cybersecurity influencer on the show. Neil Bridges, known as Mr. Awesome, has a fun and a super diverse cybersecurity background. We are excited that he decided to accept our invitation to be on our show and share his insights and background with all of our listeners. Neil, welcome. How are you? I'm so excited to have you on the show.
Thank you so very much for having me. I actually feel like I'm a fan of yours, Jax. I was super excited when you asked me to come on the show, and I was like, yes, hot dog.
Oh my God, you are too fun. This is going to be so much fun. But before we kick it off, I want our listeners to learn a little bit more about your background. So if you would, Neil, share a little bit about who you are and how did you get into cybersecurity?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I pure luck. Like if I were to TLDR how I got into cybersecurity, it was 100% pure luck. I was a hacker as a kid. My dad brought a computer home to me and sat it in front of me and said, figure this thing out. And lo and behold, a couple months later, I was writing my first password brute forcer to break into other universities back up in the dial-up days. That's not nearly as exciting as literally, you know, going through the dot-com boom in the 2000s to deciding that I really needed a stable career because Lord knows that was not going to be successful in the early 2000s. And so I stumbled into the military in 2003 for the United States Air Force. After some trutches through, you know, South Korea and Africa and places like that, I finally made my way over to U.S. Cyber Command. And got fortunate enough to be part of the National Security Agency's, you know, churn when it came to doing offensive cyber with the United States Air Force. So lots of stories doing that fun stuff. It was really exciting. It really did kind of hit me right in the feels that I was doing something that I truly loved. I got an opportunity in the Air Force. I'm sure it is, you know, with a lot of other branches, you do, and then you end up teaching for a while as well. And so I ended up really privileged to have an opportunity to build the Air Force's first functional cybersecurity training unit inside the Air Force. This was when the NSA had fired Windermere and was really trying to figure out how they were going to train all their operators. And so I got you know really lucky with being a part of that cohort that got to redefine training for all the NSA operators in the Air Force. Didn't get so lucky blowing out my knee in the Air Force, which forced me to separate. But I was fortunate on the other side, and I got to build and lead the red team for Fidelity. I got to work directly for an MSP out of Ann Arbor to build their entire pen testing, threat hunting practice out of that. I got to lead the incident transformation practice out of PwC in the Midwest. And then I've built two cybersecurity companies for Fortune 100 companies like Abbott Laboratories and Mondelez International. And one of the things that I've tried very, very hard to do since I've been out of the Air Force is to be that executive who still keeps my hands on the keyboard as much as possible. Having my own business has really helped with that. Being able to run the stream has been able to help with that. I still do, you know, my own bug bounties, my own penetration testing. I do tons of stuff in my own personal lab environments, and cybersecurity truly is a lifestyle for me. It is something that I eat, sleep, and breathe, you know, literally every day. I tell people don't follow my example because I have an unhealthy work-life balance in this space, and it is cybersecurity's fault for that unhealthy work-life balance.
It is this field. We are very bad about having that work-life balance. We are work, 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 7 days a week. We work long, long hours. I mean, the adversaries never sleep and neither do we. We've definitely got to get better at it. I actually just talked to an individual about this just earlier today on that whole work-life balance. And then as you go up the chain and you become an executive and you're trying to balance your work-life, but you know that as you climb that ladder, your days are going to get longer. And there was something that you said that I wanted to touch on because I really found this extremely interesting is the executive life. Like you're up there, you're in that C-suite, you're an executive. How do you find that work-life balance to be that executive, but also have that technical proficiency still?
It's not easy. It's not easy. It requires you to be diligent and to make a concerted effort on it. And I think that's what I'm an advocate for the appropriate work-life balance. And I'm definitely, I'm an example of what not to do in this career field. And I'm very open and honest about that. But, there was a while there where it plagued me so bad mentally that I didn't want to lose my technical skill sets that I literally got less than 4 hours of sleep a night. And I thought, this was that time of the industry and the community where it's like, no, if you're getting 8 hours of sleep at night, you're not hustling hard enough. And we have a toxicity problem. We have a toxicity problem in cybersecurity where we say, if you're not this high, you need to be this high to ride this ride. And unfortunately we've created a stigma where if you're sleeping more than 4 hours of sleep at night, then you're not good enough to be in this industry. And I succumbed to that. I gave into that. And it just kept making my life more and more, toxic, gave me some mental health issues, things like that. And so, you have to get really creative in terms of how you allocate your time towards doing the executive work and being technical. And I think what really crested it for me was learning to trust my team, learning to rely on the processes that you put in place, shifting away from, micromanaging, everything that was going on and really, really relying on well-built processes to be successful in the management space. And I got to where I became a very, very hands-off leader because I built teams and I built processes that I could trust. And that allowed me to take a step back from that controlling aspect of being an executive. And that was a real turning point for me in my career to realize that I can do both in a normal time and live a healthy lifestyle.
That's quite a lot of knowledge being shared just in the first 5 minutes of all of this. I feel like we could dive down many of those rabbit holes about how, you can, how burnout looks and how you kind of become like this, you get burnt out from like imposter syndrome or feeling like you always have to do better. And then all the other things that you talked about as well. However, for the sake of time, we do have a couple of questions that we want to ask you. With that being said though, I think you can kind of, this is a great pivoting point is, you're kind of sharing some of your experience and your knowledge with everyone so far. And, that's kind of, you still do that right now with your own Twitch stream and with your own public, I guess, lifestyle, I guess is the best way to put it, mm-hmm. And helping others. So with that being said, with you being a cybersecurity influencer and running your own Twitch channel and leading content with INE and just, being basically all over the internet, what got you started down that path? To start running Twitch streams and start giving back? And then what keeps you passionate about running, your shows that you do all over the internet?
No, that's another great question. I think, when prior to COVID, I was always at conferences. I was always, I'm one of those cybersecurity folks who don't tell salesmen in their LinkedIn to go pound sand. I used to, whenever a salesperson would come in and reach out to me, I would be that guy who'd be like, leave me alone. I don't want to talk to salespeople. And then I started running my own business and I was like, sales and marketing is a lot harder than I realized. And so I started to actually be nice to the sales and marketing team. And I made a lot of friends, in the last 5 or 6 years doing that. And, you know, it benefited me in the sense of I made a lot more meaningful connections, folks who weren't nearly as toxic as some of the folks that we've gotten used to in cybersecurity. And I got asked to speak at a lot of conferences and a lot of events, and I got to ask to share my experiences with building teams and being successful in building security operations organizations, you know, running pen test organizations and teams like that. I got really, really used to sharing that and just standing in front of that crowd and talking about the years of work that I had done. When COVID hit, I took a break from myself to realize, oh, thank God, I don't have to worry about living that pressure anymore. But then I quickly started to miss talking to the community. I started to miss sharing my experiences with people. I started to miss, you know, telling people where I had screwed up in my career, where I'd broken systems, where I'd broken companies. And I wanted to get back to that. And so literally about 12 months ago, you know, we sat down, you know, my wife and I, and we said, we want to do this, but we want to do it right. What is the theme? What is the format? You know, what's the right platform? You know, we put a lot of almost business development design into it where, you know, we wanted to bring a very, very professional piece of content to the internet on a platform that wasn't traditionally associated with cyber, in a marketplace that didn't just hack boxes. If you look at Twitch, you'll see people all over the place doing try hack me and hack the box and things like that. And we felt like there was way more to cyber. And you'll hear that when you talk to us on stream, is there's way more to cyber than just doing try hack me and hack the box stuff. And so I reached across to my connections in all across the industry and said, hey, why don't you come and sit down and have a conversation with me about cybersecurity? And the way I couched it was, it's just two people who go into a bar and have a drink and talk about the real problems that we face in cyber. What's it like to have a CISO vendor relationship? Why are we so, you know, hung up on technologies? How is Gartner destroying the industry? Right? What are those real conversations about cyber that not a lot of people get privy to because they're so technical, they're so tactical, and they're so on the weeds? And I reached out to peers of mine all across the industry, senior strategists for threat intelligence companies, senior folks at EDR companies. And I just said, hey, just come and have a conversation with me. And the response that we got from the industry was everything from, thank you for shedding light on this issue, to holy cow, I did not realize cyber was so big. And I have a real example of that. I know we're trying to be succinct on time. But I brought the senior strategist from a large EDR company on stream with me for a panel conversation. And we were having XDR conversations. We were having CISO strategy conversations. We were having these very high level conversations. And I remember coming off stream and talking to my community in Discord afterwards. And they were like, Neil, we had no idea half of what you were saying. And at first I get hit with this like, oh shoot, did I misread my audience? But after talking with them, they were like, no, you showed us how big this ocean of cybersecurity is that we operate in. We had no clue that it's bigger than what you all just spent the last 2 hours discussing. And that's been the effect of what it's been streaming. And when you talk about like what keeps me going, honestly, I focus very hard on just sharing the 25 plus years of knowledge that I have in my head across the entire gamut of stuff. And it's honestly, it's the DMs that I get in my Instagram or in my LinkedIn or in Twitter that say, Neil, I followed this specific advice that you gave and I've got my first interview. I've got my first job. I got promoted. I did this thing. And I've got a collection of those. And honestly, that is it. That is what keeps me going, is to know that there are people out there that are getting a difference from just the stuff that I sit there and spew four times a week.
So with you being able to quote unquote spew all that stuff to your target audience and the population that you're talking to, you know, you obviously want to make sure that you're targeting the right demographic. And in the cyber world, the life of the internet, we have so many different options that we can choose to broadcast that information. And you know, with you being heavily on Twitch, what made you choose Twitch over other things such as like LinkedIn, Twitter? You know, TikTok's becoming a big thing. Clubhouse is becoming a big thing. You know, I think even Instagram is doing some stuff. Yeah. YouTube is another option, right? So, like, what chose you to go to Twitch outside of those other ones?
We started multi-streaming on a lot of different platforms when we first started. And what that strategy was the first 30 days we multi-streamed, trying to figure out what gave us a true community effort. That is the thing that makes cybersecurity so awesome. It is literally what makes all of us, I think, love it, is when we find that good community. The people that we surround ourselves make for great conversations. We meet up with them at DEF CON, Black Hat. We love having drinks with them. Cybersecurity is the closest thing to having a really good community since I was in the military. And so when we evaluated the platforms, we wanted a platform that really emboldened that sense of community. And when you look at how Twitch has positioned itself with video games or in some of their more popular channels like Just Chatting and things like that, that's where their mantra is they want you as a content producer to create a community. And when you sit in and chat, and I've had folks sit in and chat, so we bring guests on and they realize that A, it's live, which they are kind of sort of used to sometimes, but they're used to live events like webinars, like these vCISO events, where they literally get no questions, right? They're there to talk and, you know, nobody's going to ask them a question because nobody wants to be sold to, right? They realize it's live. They realize I'm not giving them a platform to basically hawk their wares because I refuse to be a marketing mouthpiece. And then on top of that, we have an amazing mechanism that allows the audience to ask questions. On any given stream, we're about 150 to 200 people asking questions constantly in chat that our moderators then push on screen for our guests to answer. And when they realize that they're actually talking directly to the community of either practitioners that are going to use their product on a tactical level or leaders who are trying to make those purchasing decisions, they realize that this is unlike any other broadcast that they've ever had. And Twitch really does allow us to have that community feel and really be able to bring that conversation in a much, much more intimate fashion.
I think that's great context, Neil, especially for all of our listeners out there that are wanting to ingest information, but there's so many places to get it. And I think that I definitely struggle with that myself, you know, between managing podcasts and, you know, finding, you know, just like news sources. I know my company does a great job of like making sure that we're always in the know of all of the latest and greatest cyber specific news that, you know, apply to our clients. But it's like, you know, there's just this plethora of platforms and information and influencers to follow. So I think it's really, really hard to track down, you know, those particular people. And I think Twitch is a unique streaming platform because, as you mentioned, yeah, it's been positioned in the gaming community more so. So, you know, I know my husband, for example, he loves Twitch, but he's on there playing Call of Duty. and doing all the gaming. So I definitely see that Twitch is going to, I think, pick up a lot more in the coming years. And I'm excited to see, you know, the content that is being produced there. So I love that. I am going to pivot a little bit here, Neil, with my next question. I know you're the chief content officer for a very large security training company. And so for those of us here that may be listening, that are looking to get a career in cybersecurity, or maybe just starting to get their feet wet, what kind of advice do you have for them on how to get their start in the industry, whether it's training, whether it's certificates, whether it's networking? I mean, you know, you let us know. What is your advice?
Yeah, no, I think that that's fair. And training has something that's been part of my career. Regardless of the role that I've taken, I've always found a knack to be able to train folks. And whether that was building the first functional training unit for cyber, I was a SANS instructor for 5 years, teaching on the side at L&D teams inside of some of the Fortune 100 companies that I've worked for. It's been something that I've always been incredibly passionate about, that light bulb that goes off when people learn something. The organization that I'm with now, I look at it and I look and see that there's some interesting things that are happening in our industry. And when we look at folks like Naomi and you all and Gerald and you know, folks who are actively trying to break down the gates of entry when it comes to our career field, I think that there's a tear in the industry when it comes to education, right? There is a lot of education that needs to happen on the HR and the recruiting side when it comes to realizing that the cornerstone search that you're used to seeing, students have options now. Students have options. And when you look at the student side, they're so interested in getting that job that sometimes they can't see the forest for the trees. And so I've got a few pillars that, regardless of the role that I have, and you can go back to a lot of my early streams and see these are pillars that I've stood next to for as long as I've been a content creator. The first and foremost, if you want to be successful in starting out your cybersecurity career, I gave everybody who heard my voice in January a challenge, right? In January, I challenged everybody to build their personal brand and network. And what did that mean? I challenged folks who could listen to me to go out and start the Neil Bridges 1000 Connect Challenge. Find 1000 people in cybersecurity that you idolize, that you admire, that you, you know, think do good work in the industry, and make meaningful connections. If there's a company that you want to work with, Microsoft, Apple, Amazon, whatever the case is, you know, make meaningful connections in the security teams in those organizations. When I say meaningful connections, reach out to them, talk to them about what it is, what's life like in that company, what is it that you do, understand what those people do in cybersecurity. And the first and foremost is to start making 1000 meaningful connections in cybersecurity. That is hands down the biggest thing that you can do for your career right out the gate. And I'm a huge advocate for that. I think the second thing that I'm a huge advocate for is to go take all the free stuff. I tell people this all the time. Like, I've been in this industry for 25 years. I would kill to start over from scratch right now with what the amount of information that is out there. Like, I would gladly take the reset button on my career to start over from scratch with everything that's out there right now. Everything from, you know, all the advice that's been given out there, the books that John's written, right? The books that you wrote, Jax, right? With Gerald, you know, the master plan. Like, I think that there is so much free information out there that you should exhaust all the free information first before you ever spend a dime, before you ever spend a dime on training or certification or anything else. Go take all the free stuff, go do all of that. And then I think the final piece that I give everybody when it comes to getting into the career field from a training perspective is find training that allows you to put your hands on the keyboard. With the way cloud is now, with organizations like TryHackMe and Hack the Box, and you know, some of these other organizations out there, even on the blue side where you got Security Blue Team and Blue Team Labs Online and cyberdefenders.org, there are so many places where you could actually go and demonstrate that you have valuable skills to an organization. And I think that we've, you know, there's no need for expensive home labs anymore. There's no need to build racks and racks and racks of stuff in your houses anymore for you to go and demonstrate that you know how to watch a sim, that you know how to threat hunt, that you know how to pen test a box. And so those are the three things. And notice I didn't mention my company in there at all. I didn't mention, you know, any particular type of cert, because I think those three things right there, if you did those three things, and I can tell you from my stream, from my community, from the folks who have reached out to me who have just done those three things, there are people getting their first cybersecurity jobs by simply doing those three things.
Yeah.
Not a single cert was mentioned in there.
Yeah. No, and Neil, what you're showing too is by doing all of those things, you're showing passion for the subject matter. You're showing the dedication that you have, the grit to, you know, to actually be part of this field. Because as we've talked on this episode and also on prior episodes here, we know that this is a high stress kind of job. We know that you're always having to learn more. So if you don't have that genuine like hunger for knowledge of cyber, like this is not going to be the field for you, right? Mm-hmm. So I think that your points really, really touch right there. They're so true. So do you have any big goals that you can share with us? Do you have any new things cooking up that we should be looking for, Neil?
Give us the scoop. There's always something going on the stream. I've brought on 3 interns to help with the stream. And this is in addition to just the team of moderators that we've got that support this. I want to say, give a huge shout out to everybody, you know, who's listening to this, who is a moderator on my stream. They work tirelessly. You want to talk about a team of volunteers who work tirelessly to make sure that the stream is moderated, free of racist, sexist, toxic, elitist behavior every single time. I can't thank them enough.
Amazing.
In addition to that, I brought on three interns from all across the globe. I've got a female, you know, intern from Japan that we're trying to work through. We've got a gentleman who's in South Korea working in DOD environment. I've got somebody who's in Minnesota as an intern. And we're actively trying to get them their first cybersecurity role and get them that cybersecurity experience. They're actually also helping me line up a lot of great content on the stream. We've got AJ Nash from Anomaly coming on in 2 weeks. We've got Rick McElroy from VMware Carbon Black coming on in 3 weeks. We've got somebody from Attack IQ coming on sometime in July to talk about breach and attack simulation, as well as purple teaming. And that's not the only, you know, the only reason to come to the stream. What I've realized and what I've enjoyed doing is taking the success that the stream has and providing a content delivery platform for other streamers who produce. If you've not been in the Twitch space, you know how hard it is to get seen and to get that recognition that you need to be Absolutely. Successful as a Twitch streamer. Yeah. And so what I've done is I've taken my platform and I've basically given it out to folks like Joel and Brandon, who run Cyber Incision study groups on Tuesday night. Brandon runs his daily cyber where he does, you know, interviews on a Wednesday night. Jack Reedy does, you know, everything from malware reverse engineering live on a Friday night. And so we're the only channel, the only Twitch channel that you can find out there that literally streams 5 to 6 days a week cybersecurity content across the entire gamut for you to consume. And so when you talk about like, what do we have big, it's really just growing that portfolio out. We want to, it's not that we want to take over that cybersecurity content, but we like that idea that if you're curious about getting your CISSP, come watch Brandon and Joel do their study group. If you're curious about malware reverse engineering, come watch Jack do his thing. If you want to talk to industry experts, whether it's Brandon or myself, there's always something going on and there is always a community of folks that are willing to help you learn and succeed. I wish I had a book that I could hawk. I wish I had, you know, something like that. But honestly, the stream is my passion. And I want to share all of that knowledge and all these other streamers' experiences with everybody else.
Yeah, Neil. And I think that is so fabulous because it's a one-stop shop kind of thing. And I think that beyond that, I think just what you mentioned earlier about having this kind of content at the start of your career, I definitely, that resonates with me. I definitely wish that there was this kind of content because I could have gone and watched your stream and watched all these amazing people that are sharing knowledge and said, hey, maybe this topic interests me. Maybe this topic is where I should focus. Because I know everyone here on the call, I mean, we've dabbled around in cyber until we found kind of, you know, quote unquote, our home.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So I am definitely really excited for our listeners here to check out your channel, check out the content that's being pushed out there, and to also check out the diversity of the content that's being pushed out there so that you can really help to kind of tailor where your interest in cyber and where your future lies.
Absolutely. I'm always open to suggestions. We're always on the hunt for streamers who, you know, who have good content, who want to, you know, who need an audience and can offer something back over to the community. It's a constant, you know, battle that we have that we want to try to produce quality content for people. We want to help everybody, whether you're the beginner or whether you're an experienced, whether you're a beginner or an experienced veteran, we have content for you.
I love it. This is so inspiring. I actually wrote down the three pillars over here on a notepad. And I want to challenge all of our listeners to do the three pillars. The first one, and correct me if I'm wrong on any of these, the 1,000 meaningful connections, and then leverage the community and usurp the free content first. And then the last one I've got is build your own lab, show your work. I think these are great. And like you said, you know, people that have done all three of these and they've never paid a penny for a certification or a course, and they've gotten into the community and they've been able to be successful. And I love that. Now, well, we are getting ready to wrap up. But before we hop off, I know that some of our listeners are likely going to reach out to you and they're going to want to reach out to you either for advice or maybe be interested in volunteering, or maybe they have a good idea for some content. So with that being said, what is the best way for them to be able to connect with you? Is it emails, at Twitch or LinkedIn? What would be the best way for them to
reach? Absolutely. And one of the things I'm super proud of is I answer every DM, regardless of the platform. Ever since I've had people reaching out to me, I've never not answered a direct message. And so anybody can reach out to me at any point in time, and I take that challenge pretty significantly. Actually, if you go out there and there's an influencer that I work pretty significantly with. His name's David Bomble, and we have a little bit of a challenge going where he continues to try to send people to me to DM me, because we have a challenge where if I fail to answer DMs, then we're going to give $2,000 over to the community in some way, shape, or form. And so whether you find me on LinkedIn at Neil Bridges, whether you find me on Twitter at IT Junkie, same with Instagram, IT Junkie, you can go look at the Cyber Insecurity Twitch stream or the Cyber Insecurity YouTube channel. There's content, live content on Twitch, and there's content that we upload on YouTube via our channel on YouTube. But find me on Discord, find me on any of my socials, come chat in chat. Come see the community we've got, and you'll feel right at home.
Well, you heard it here, folks. Thank you. That was Mr. Awesome. You have been such a joy. So thankful that you came on the show today.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Hackers and HackZen podcast with Erica, Jax, and John. If you learned something new and this podcast made you think, then share ITSBmagazine.com with your friends, family, and colleagues. If you represent a company and wish to associate your brand with our conversations, sponsor one or more of our podcast channels. We hope you will come back for more stories and follow us on our journey. You can always find us at the intersection of technology, cybersecurity, and society.